For our first lesson, we will be reading from the book of Isaiah. It is in your pew Bible on page 635, and then we'll turn the page to 636. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Here ends our reading for this day.
We're going to start today with a review. 2 weeks ago, I talked about being a Christian warrior, and we talked about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Last Sunday, I talked to you about being a prayer warrior, and we talked about a couple of verses following being a prayer warrior, where the Apostle Paul tells us to pray three times in two different verses. Last Sunday, I gave you an assignment, and I told you to take home your bulletin, put it on your refrigerator, and every time you open your refrigerator, to pray for those people whose names were there. I hope some of you did that, and I know that some of you meant to do that. So I won't be asking for hands to say who did and who didn't, but just to know that you're working on it. And now we're praying the pews starting this Sunday, hoping that and praying that people will fill these pews, and not just for stats, but life change, that people's lives will be changed by Jesus Christ from the inside out. But today we are now in our church, in our series in the Militant Church, to talk about church warriors. It's important I make clear what I mean and what I don't mean. So, church warriors, and certainly people within the church have been known to go to war with each other. That's not what I'm talking about. For example, first slide. Yeah, people arguing with one another. It is bad, it's a bad scene, and it's bad form when Christian people are taking their fingers and poking them at each other and arguing with each other over things. Things like in seminary, we had all sorts of interesting debates and questions about what do we believe and the idea of you're a heretic. And when we start arguing with each other, we start doing a lot of name calling. Oh, you're a liberal. You're progressive. You're conservative. You're orthodox. Ooh. That's not the kind of church warrior I'm talking about. And you know what else will get church folks fired up? Next slide, please. What time the service should be. If I want to start controversy in a church, any church, pick a church, all I have to do is say, "I think we should change the time of the service." And people will start claiming that this is the only time that God is available in Hayworth for us to worship. There may be 168 hours in the week, Pastor, but I want you to know the only time that's the time that God can show up here at Hayworth is 10:15 on Sunday morning, because if you change the time, I'm going to be. And in the history of this church, you've had times where the service time had to change. You had two services, and then there were some things happening. You went to one service, and you had an early service, you had a late service, and I'm sure that had some angst to it. And now we're doing this blended service, and so that happens. And the other thing that'll get people fired up, you know, get church people fired up, tell them the service is going longer than an hour. We're going to be here for 2 hours. We're just going to do praise songs for the next first hour, and then I'll get to the sermon for the next hour. And that's all we're going to do. We're going to sing a lot of praise songs. You're going to be standing up the whole time. And I'm just going to preach till the second hour. That will get things fired up. Any kind of change in the length of service, people will start going, I'm going to talk to you, preacher. Style of worship will get things fired up for a lot of people. We need to keep the traditional song. Now, this is an interesting one. I even have my pointer. I got to show this to you because it's fun. There. Here are the pipes for the pipe organ. All music must be done on the pipe organ. If it's not written by John or Charles Wesley or Isaac Watts, certainly we cannot sing those songs in our traditional service that we've always loved and enjoyed forever and ever. And then, of course, we have the more contemporary, oh, there's some guitars and drums and people raising their hands, and we don't do that here. What are you doing? We're praising the Lord. We don't praise the Lord here, sir. Not like that, we don't. And it's those kind of things that cause people, Christian people who love Jesus, to really go at each other. But that's not what I'm talking about, because that's not what we should be doing. Different people worship God differently. Sometimes the service of worship has to change for good reasons. We are facing a clergy shortage. I don't know what may happen in the future. There may be a time where a district superintendent says to us, we need you to be on with another church. But their church service is at 10:15 and your service is at 10:15, and you can't have the pastor both places at 10:15, so somebody's got to change. Changing the time, how we've always done things. But yet, it may happen to us in the future. And somehow, I have every confidence we'll get through it. Now, okay, that's what I'm not talking about. Let me tell you what I am talking about. This is from the Bible. This is from Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. This was the early church. This is how it's described. And it's in your pew Bible. So those who welcomed his message, Peter, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Not want, need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of the Lord for the people of God. But this is our focus verse today. They devoted themselves. Church folks, the church warriors of the first century, early times, devoted themselves. Devoted. This is our focus. This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be listening to the apostles' teaching. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. They don't have anything written down on paper. They have the apostles' teachings from their time with Jesus. The earliest book in the Bible, in the New Testament, we have is Galatians or 1 Thessalonians between 48 and 50. So Jesus dies in 33, and you do the math. It was a few years ago. So let's say 50. Okay, math time. Who wants to do math? 50 minus 33 is... Hang on. Keep working it. 17. I'm hearing 17. 17. Does that 17 sound right to you? It's close. Okay, 17. Okay. How long ago was 17 years from 2024? You know anybody who's 17? Huh? 07. What happened on January the 3rd of 2007? Do you remember? Anybody? What do you remember from 2007? Do you remember anything from 2007? 17 years ago. Grandson was born. Kind of like the reading that Kim did. In the year that King Uzziah died, there was something significant. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. There was something significant. And the disciples' teaching, the apostles' teachings, were, hey, I remember the time when I was walking with Jesus and it's 17, 20 years before anything is written down. And all of us understand the challenge of trying to remember what happened in 2007. 17 years ago or 20 years ago. And so the disciples' teaching were the key parts of what they're going to. So the church warriors were people who were learning. Number one, they were learning people. All of them were learning. Christian education was not just Sunday school, but it was listening to the teachings. And not only do we have the teachings of Jesus, but how do we live this out? Well, we can hear the sayings of Jesus, but how do you put that into practice? And this is what the church devoted itself to in the early church. The apostles' teaching and fellowship. These people liked to get together. They liked each other. They got along with each other. They spent time together. This past week on Tuesday, our Romeos got together. Romeos, for those of you who don't know what Romeos, retired old Methodist enjoying outings. It's a group. And you have to be AARP age and over. And there were 14 people who came out to Romeo's just to have fellowship with one another. Sometimes our youth group, when it gets together, they just like to have fellowship with one another. There doesn't have to be anything terribly structured. We just want to be together and hang out together. We want to shoot some baskets down in the fellowship hall. We want to play some games. We want to play capture the flag outside. We want to play hide and seek in the sanctuary. We want to just have some time and time to be together. It's not good that man should be alone or woman. And they had fellowship with one another. Let's go ahead. Apostles' teachings. Okay? And they had fellowship together. Okay? Next one. Here we go. They broke the bread. Now, depending upon which scholar you'd like to listen to, that meant they ate together at each other's homes, which can be a fun thing to do. Or it meant communion. They devoted themselves to having communion, remembering what Jesus had done for them. So in some ways, it was a learning kind of place. It was a fellowship place. It was the early church. The church warriors were about remembering what Jesus had done for them. In remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And lastly, next slide. They're praying. This is a praying church. The early church was all about praying. Let's pray together. Before the Holy Spirit came, they devoted themselves to prayer. And they kept praying after the Holy Spirit came. We want to do what God wants us to do, and so we will ask until we figure out what the answer is, until God reveals through some way, through circumstance or whatever it is, we're going to figure out what God wants us to do. And that's what they were about. It's still a good model. that we would have times of teaching and have times of fellowship and have times of sacrament and have times of prayer. And so I challenge you during the rest of Lent for the next 3 weeks to come and pray the pews, because the early church was a praying church. And it was seeking to do what God wanted them to do. Because I don't know if you've ever had this in your life. You ever have one of those times in your life where you go, I don't know what to do next? Been there? What am I going to do now? Maybe it's after you graduate high school or college or you retire or whatever, and you go, what's next? And I don't know. Lord, guide me. Last slide. This is from the book of Hebrews. And let us consider how to provoke one another. Now, I got to finish the rest of that, but I want to stop here for just a second. Let's understand what this means, to provoke, to stir up one another. To love and good deeds. You got to finish that. How can I help you become more loving? Huh? How can I help you do better good deeds? And then how do you help me do good deeds? And how do you help me be more loving? It's not just me, and it's us. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. It is good that you are here. Now, you've heard this one, right? I don't have to go to church to worship God. I can worship God whenever I want to, wherever I want to, anytime I want to. True, you can worship God anytime you want to, anywhere you want to. When was the last time you devoted an hour of focused attention on the Almighty without some help? And yet we have said, for 1 hour out of 168 hours, we are going to come here as people who love God, and we're going to worship. We're going to learn. We're going to pray. We're going to remember Jesus. We're going to have fellowship with one another. And we need each other. It's not good that man's alone. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Do you see the positives of this? Provoke you to love and good works and to encourage you. You know anybody who doesn't need encouragement? Do you know anybody who doesn't need encouragement? I'm just fine the way I am. Encouragement is oxygen to the soul. Help somebody breathe. Help them to know that they're not alone in this. In this whole faith thing, this following the trail of faith. But you need to encourage each other. All the more as you see the day approaching, they're thinking the end of the times. There are times when we watch the news and you start to wonder about a lot of things. Maybe we need some encouragement. There's a reason I started the service with some good news about the people of Haworth returning cards to a person. You see, we need to hear good news, not just good news like somebody did the right thing, but also the good news of Jesus Christ. And we as church warriors, in a time when we are facing temptation and our friends are facing temptation and trials and disappointment and so many different things, that we have each other's backs, that we are going to be the people who are going to help each other through whatever it is that's going on in your life. We're here for each other. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says the church is to be about. May we continue to grow together as God leads us and guides us in everything that He calls us to do. Amen.